This is an interview for the Millworkers Oral History Project. The date is March 23rd, 2006, and I'm here at the Maison Marcotte with Laurent Rivard.
Laurent and Larry.
Larry.
Yeah.
And this is Andrea Lungier. Could you start just by telling me your full name?
Laurent, in French or English? Laurent Silvio Rivard.
And what is your date of birth?
12/24/20.
Almost a Christmas baby.
8 minutes before Christmas. Cost my mother $8.
Now, were you born at a hospital or at home?
At home.
At home. And a doctor came to the home?
Doctor came to spend the evening with the family.
Wow.
Christmas Eve.
And were you born in Lewiston?
I was born in Lewiston. Little Canada, they call it. Know what that is?
Yes.
From St. Mary's Church.
And did you grow up in that area?
Well, when I was 7 to 14 years old, I went to a convent in Jackman, Maine. I spent there for 7 years, and then I came over here and I graduated from a Robert Academy. Uh-huh. Then I went to high school 4 years and didn't graduate.
Now, what was your reason for going to the convent in Jackman?
My father had quite a few kids. My father came from Rimouski, St. Helens, Canada, 500 miles from here, and he had quite a few kids. Canada, you know, the big family. And we was three down there in a convent. Me, my brother, and my sister were down there. But they only stayed 1 or 2 years, but I stayed there for 7 years. But in the summer, we came home in the summer.
Mm.
And then we go back in September when school starts. We go back.
Yeah. So how many brothers and sisters did you have in all?
I had 4 brothers and 3 sisters.
So your parents, were they from Lewiston or you said Canada?
My father came from Canada. Uh-huh. My mother came from Waterville, Maine.
And what were their names?
My father's name is Heliodore Gilbert Rivard. My mother's name was Clara Mayhew. It meant name Rivard.
And did your mother, was she a homemaker or did she work outside the home?
She never worked. My father came by. My father was running a train then. He was working on the railroad. He went by Waterville. He saw her next to the road. He waved. The second time, he stopped and he talked. The third time, he married her. That was fast marriage. She never went to school.
Yeah.
She doesn't even know how to write a name. So my father was pretty well educated. He had diplomas or anything. My father was a contractor, builder, and architect. An electrician, everything. He knew everything. And he built quite a few houses in Auburn and Lewiston.
So if you were born in 1920, then you were about 10 years old when the Depression hit. Do you have memories of the Depression years?
Depression year?
The Depression era, the 1930s?
No.
Yeah.
1930s, I was in Jackman.
Yeah.
I come out of there in 1934.
Mm-hmm. So you went to the mill after you finished high school, or did you do something in between?
No. After I finished high school, I didn't graduate, but I have my graduation over there. Because last year, they made me a surprise. They talked between the Lisbon and the Lewiston High School, and they arranged me to have my diploma, because I was there 4 years, but never graduated.
Mm-hmm.
See, I went 7 years to French school. When I came back, I didn't graduate on my senior school. My senior school, I had to take sophomore English, junior English, and senior English. So instead of that, I went to work. I was about 18 then. I went to mill.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the home, when you were at home, did your parents both speak French in the
home? Yes. Oh, yes. My mother couldn't even speak English almost. But my father was well educated. He could do anything.
So when you went into the mill, which mill was it?
All three of them. Henniskogen Mill for about 15, 16 years, from 1938 to... then I went in the Army in between, 2 years and a half in the Army. Then I came back and I had my job back in Henniskogen. They closed down. So that they sent me to a general office. I worked there for 2 years and a half, general office. We experiment on yarn and all that stuff. And then they closed down. They sent me to Hill Mill on Canal Street. They closed down. Then they sent me to Bates Mill. They closed down also. And then I went to work for a shoe shop, cutting shoes, outside cutter, they call it.
What year did you leave the mills and go to the shoe shops?
Let me see now. In 57, I quit general office. I went to Scoggin. Probably about 1957, I was at general office. Must have been 1958, I went to shoe shop.
Okay. So you worked in the mills for about 20 years?
Well, 16 in 1 year, and then a year and a half in one, and then probably a year or so.
Uh-huh.
So pretty close.
Yeah. So can you talk to me about the different jobs you have? Go back to the beginning and what the titles were and describe those jobs for me.
My job at first when I went in the mill, I was only 18 years old. I was bobbin boy. They used to have boxes of bobbin there, and I used to fill the doll, what they call that, where the women working the winders, they need bobbin to fill up the bobbin, see? Mm-hmm. There was different type colored by at the end of the bobbin. And I had to go around. When I see women in there that had no bobbin, I used to take my truck and fill a pan, or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. And then I had that for a while. Then I says, I want to go further. Then he called me and he gave me another job to go for warp boy. Warp boy, that's where the woman, they got a creel in the back of the warper and they got the spoon, rayon, all that stuff. It all goes on one beam. That's probably about 800, 900 end going on one beam and they make a beam for the slasherman. I used to take out when it was full and put an empty one and I had a little odd job in between to pack the paper. I opened the cone, you got paper there around. You took the paper off, put down the box, and before I leave, I had to take the tape there and tape together and pile it. Then I used to go home after that. Then after that, what boy, I went to a slasher helper. The slasherman was running the slasher when he needed a helper to doff. Doff means the same thing, almost at the whopper. Doff, they got probably 8, 10, 14 reel loom in the back there. It all goes to one loom. And that goes in the starch. And they got 5 cylinders, about big cylinders to dry it up. Then they go in the front, and they go in the beam in the front. And these beam there, these beam, they go downstairs for the weave room. And they use them to weave. We made all kind of, my wife used to make, when she was working on a whopper, she was making material for parachute. Mm. Yeah.
Was this during the war years? The 1940s, during World War II?
That was, yeah. Yeah, before World War 1941, 42, 43. Because I left in 1942 for the Army. 2 years and a half.
So did you meet your wife at the mill?
I was working, like I say, I was working on a warp boy, and she was working, she came in when I was working there, that's where I met her. I usually hang all around a machine. We've been married for 60 years. Mm-hmm. But right now, I had a call from you or whatever to talk to Cecile Rivard, because she worked down the mill. I says, I'm sorry, Cecile Rivard is in the nursing home. Duville Pavilion. But I said, that's my wife. They asked me, is that your wife? I said, yeah, that's my wife. Then we want to see you then. But they talked to me.
And you mentioned the hockey team. Were you involved with that? The hockey team?
Yes. I used to play hockey 2 years for Larry Shawhan, who was the coach. And 2 years in a row, we went to play down the Madison Square Garden with the Metropolitan All-Star. 2 years in a row.
Wow. How was your hockey team? It sounds like it was pretty strong.
We had a good team. Mm-hmm. We lost the first time, first year, but the second year we beat them. And first year, they got wise. Me and my partner, I says, put your money in your pillow so your head be on it. Okay? All the others didn't do it. They woke up in the morning, everyone didn't have no money. Everyone, when somebody go in, took their money. Well, we traveled from Friday night, 9 o'clock in the morning, till we get to our room, and they're all tired, so they all went to bed early. They had for lunch, walk around a little, then they all went to bed. In the afternoon, that's where the guys or the woman that works around there, you know, they had keys so they could go in, and every one of them had the money stolen. Of course, they complained to the manager of the hotel. Well, he says, it's not my fault. But the manager gave him all $100, just for what they lost. Because some guys, hockey players, they went down with their wife, they expect to shop. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't do much shopping.
Were you around when the hockey team wasn't it to Europe?
They went to Europe. I left before, the year they went down there, I left the year before because I had 2 kids and I didn't want to get hurt. So they went down there, and when they're down there, I says, they're going to have a hard time because it's a different type of playing that they play over here than over there. And they lost both games. I mean, they played about 3-4 games over there against Russia and all that stuff, them European country over there. They didn't win too many games. I don't think they won any. When you get beaten 18-3 there, it's not funny. But the Russian wanted to keep the Gula, though. The Bates Gula, he had a chance to stay with the Russian. No, I said, I'm going home.
Yeah. Now, where did the hockey team practice?
When they started?
Where did they practice? Did you have a skating rink somewhere? An ice rink?
Oh, we had an ice rink over here on Clutchy's Figure. Outside rink we had. And sometime, we played a game one time with 8-0. Outside, there was I think it was 7 spectators, I call them, and then when they spirit it out, dive in the little house, a little cabin or whatever, there, and it warmed up. It was cold. We played. We had good percentage, though. We probably played about once a week, and we went to Waterville a few times. We went to Auburn, and we went around. We went to Berlin and Hampshire, we beat them, and we had a good percentage. I think we lost 3 out of 12 games. But you only play once a week, one game a week, and that was Sunday afternoon. But when it comes March, the ice wasn't too good. So we had to play in January and February.
Were you ever involved with the bowling league?
No, we didn't have no bowling league then.
No. That was probably in later years. And do you recall any strikes at the mill?
Not in the mill, no. There was no strike. I got fired in the mill, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got fired, but not to my advantage, not to my fault.
Right.
We couldn't smoke where we work. We had to go down on the fourth floor, the smoking room. Mm-hmm. Then my helper used to wash my machine. And when I went down, I doffed, everything was ready to go. I went down and spoke. When I come up, I had a smash in my, you know, when you got 700, 800, 900 ends going up, they all busted there. So I only had about 150 yards on the beam. So I took the knife and cut it off. And somebody squealed on me that was working with me. He went up to see the boss, the overseer, whatever. And he came up to me and said, stop, you're fired. That's it. But I didn't. In 1 week, they called me back because it wasn't my fault. And he told the boss, the overseer that he told us, the boss on the third ship, he says, don't you do anything like that again without our permission. And don't take advantage of him. So it went that way.
Yeah. What were the working conditions like?
Pretty good. Yeah. Oh yeah, pretty good. We start when the red light goes off. We had a red light at 11 o'clock. You had to change. You had a guy leave and we take over. If I come in one time, I come in late, or probably the light just come off. I lost 4 hours. They told me, well, he was ordered to stay 4 more hours, so you had to come back at 3 o'clock. So I went home, sleeping off till 3, and I went back to work for 4 hours. I lost 4 hours.
So did you work the third shift?
I used to work on the third shift, sometime on the second shift. The third shift, they call that the graveyard. It's tough. It's not tough when you go in, not tough when you get out. But when you get about 2-3 o'clock in the morning there, you doze off. But you got to keep going. You got to keep awake all the time. And before the war there, in 1941, we have Button, with a picture on it, and the Scoggin Mill. I had him just before I moved over here, and I can't seem to find him. If I found out, I told the woman down there.
Rachel?
Funny name, last name there.
DeGrozier,
yeah. I said, if I can find him, I'll give him to you. She was glad of everything I gave her. Well, my boy gave her, because I gave a lot of my boy too. Mm-hmm. And he turned it in over there. And they got my sweater from Bates over there.
That's
Bates Hockey.
Wonderful.
They got two stripes over there for you.
Yeah.
They had a some kind of a shindy last year, didn't they? Or the year before?
Yes, the reunion.
A reunion, yeah. And my sweater was still there. And the pictures I gave with the guys I work with, and they took pictures of me in front of my machine. And before that, Bates sent a photograph to take my life at home. They come up, took my life. I was eating breakfast with my wife and one kid. They took my life when I was going to bed. They took pictures. And then they took pictures while I was working in the cellar on a machine. And they took pictures of me at hockey. And they did quite a few pictures.
That's wonderful.
I gave them all to them.
So what branch of the service were you in during World War II?
Well, we went to Virginia. I had my basic training over there. Then I went to California. That's where we start another basic training, but with rifle and all that stuff. I was in a branch of a Baker unit, quartermaster Baker unit, okay?
Mm-hmm. Was this the Army?
It's the Army. And we made bread for the whole battalion on there. And we made bread in the ground. We made all kinds of waste, because you're out in the field, you don't get no oven or anything. But when we went overseas, we had some four-wheel oven, truck oven. You know what I mean? Oven. And after that, well, after California, we crossed the Atlantic Ocean, we went to England. There, we was on a convoy. Every 50 feet, 100 yards, ship here, ship there, ship everywhere. And we had the, let me see now. The one on my right was a WAC ship. You know, it's a WAC wave. All women soldiers. And on my left was Battleship Missouri. So we were pretty well situated. And all around us, there was them ship that they go fast and everything, they run away. We lost 2 ship, but we sank 5 submarines. Because every day we had the paper from the ship, the news, and they told us what happened, or so and so. We landed 23 days to took the cross. And we landed to England, and I stayed in England for 7 months. I was a truck driver. And I traveled all over the place. We went to commissaries, take the food and bring it to the companies all around. I was living in a private building. Oh, cut it off. After England, we went to France. We landed at Omaha Beach. If you've seen it on a movies or show or what, Omaha Beach was pretty rough. The D-Day, they call it. But we went there after the D-Day, because we were not a fighting unit. We were making food and bread, all the stuff, for the guys in the front. And after that, let me see now. We went in. It was spot French was gone, taken, and we landed in one place. We didn't know where we were. So the captain says, "We're gonna stop here." We stopped there, and the women on the living the houses all around there, they all ran away. Except the kid, they know nothing. So I said to the kid, I talked to the kids. "Mes amis, Américain, on est des Amis." I could speak French naturally. I spoke to the kids. And I told them, "We're American, don't be afraid." Oh, the kids went, and I told them, their parents, "The Nicaraguans, why? No stuff." We had a good time. We was lost anyway. We didn't know where we were. Then they come out in the afternoon. They brought us some eggs. We cooked eggs and everything. It was pretty well.
So they were nice to you?
Oh, yeah. The French people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I talked to them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. After that, we kept going. Mm-hmm. I got 2 battle stars. I got the battle star of the European Theater of Operation, and the battle star of the big war there. I forgot. Anyway, and then we crossed the Rhine River one by one. They had pontoon for us to cross over. We had to cross one by one over the river on pontoon. That's further up. And then we went to Nuremberg, Germany. We stood there for about a year. The war was almost over then. And all the big high-ranking officer, they got caught. There probably was about a block away from where I were. And after that, you couldn't go near it. Anyway, MPs all around, and they were well protected. Then I went to Czechoslovakia is the furthest I went, Pilsen, Czechoslovakia. When we got down there, we joined with the 97th Infantry. The 97th Infantry, we got orders, we're going home. Hey, I drove from Pilsen, Czechoslovakia, to Germany, France, way up to Marseille, France. Then we took the boat and we crossed in 7 days. When I got in the United States, I jumped. Then I kissed the air. I had enough. We had a big steak for dinner. We had a good meal when we came in. Mm-hmm. I remember that. I was corporal 3-4 times. I got busted. But not of my fault. One of them was I was driving my truck in Germany. I had a helmet, German, on my head, on my head. And who would I see going by was my captain. All our trucks on a corner bumper, about 6 inches, were white, in the front and in the back. So we knew all our trucks, where they were, and you've seen them coming. But me, then he saw me, he said, "You could have got killed." Wearing a German hat over there, we're driving a truck. Then one time, an airplane land right next to the road. You get out, come on. I didn't want him. I pushed my guys, I got out. But I had a rifle and a sick bazooka in my truck. So I was well, and beside my gun, my rifle. I had a, and I went to the front 3 or 4 times. But as I was going, flash here, flash there, the MP told me to go in. I said, "I got to deliver this. You ain't going nowhere. That's the front line over there." So I turned around. That's big. Well, a lot of things that went by, but I don't remember, But I got strafed 4 times. I had, one day, I used to say 9 flat tires because I had bullets and shrapnel in the tire, but maybe that's out of my mind now. I can't seem to remember when. But my boys got a notebook, little notebook every day I was doing, writing down what I was doing. Whenever they asked me, like they say, about August 29 on 43, I looked my book, that's my wife's birthday. I was in France, doing a lot of things in France.
And you were glad to come home.
Well, yeah, in one way, yeah. I didn't mind the Army though, so much. But a lot of times, job works I didn't like. When I got busted a few times, they sent me in a bakery. In a bakery, you work 12 hours, from 12 to 12. Sometimes you work from 12 in the afternoon to 12 at night, or sometimes 12 midnight to 12 in the afternoon. It's 12 hours. We operate for 6 months in a row without stopping, making bread. We made about 48,000 pounds of bread a day. That's a lot of bread.
And you said in 1958 you went to the shoe shops.
1958, I went.
Into the shoe shops.
After I went to the three mills I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
I learned cut shoes over there.
Yeah. How was the shoe shops different from the mill in terms of the atmosphere and the people you worked with?
Well, shoe shop, piecework, you know. Mm-hmm. You got your work. The more you do, the more you get paid. It all depends how you get paid. You don't get paid by the hour like a mill. You don't get 5 cents a raise either, like the mill. Then the one time we had 5 cents raise. That's a lot of money, 5 cents. Then 1940 or 41, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. Hey, big raise, 5 cents. But the shoe shop, like I say, I was cutting the outside shoes. I cut a lot of women's shoes, and I cut a lot of them. And you had so much to do. If you do it, you get paid for what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You don't pay by the hour.
Yeah. Was there a difference in how people socialized with each other between the shoe shop and the mill?
No.
Were there any strikes when you were at the shoe shop?
Yes, shoe shop. One morning, we didn't like what was going on. Mm-hmm. All the cutters walk out. That's almost like a strike. And we went outside, and we didn't. Then they start talking. They says, "Well, half on one side they went and worked, but the other half we didn't." And I was on half. I was new to the shoe shop then, you know, 3 or 4 months, so I stuck with my side. They got fired. I got fired too. In the morning, next day, the overseer, he came out in my house. He says, "I want you to go back to work." He knew I was a good worker. And I worked there for 22 years. One time I even worked on Sunday morning. I used to work every Saturday, overtime, time and a half. Sunday was double time. Mm-hmm. So over there I made a little money. Better than the mill.
Was the union strong in the shoe shops?
What?
The union.
Union?
Was there a union in the
shoe
shops?
Oh, yeah, there's a union in the shop. Because they had a meeting every month, a union meeting. Mm-hmm. So anything that goes wrong, they used to sell us or tell the people there to go to the meeting. What's going on, what's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the names of the shoe shops that were around then?
Yeah. One was 22 years out of Shapiro, and then the other one, Hill Mill was a shoe shop that went in there. That was Songo Shoe Shop.
Songo,
yeah. And after that, I went to Oxford Street, and when Shapiro closed down, I went to Oxford Street. There was a new shoe shop there too. I worked there for 6 years. I can't remember the name now.
Was there a shoe shop called Nat?
Nat Shoe?
Yeah.
Yeah, my buddy, they used to go hunting and fishing with me. He used to work down in Nat Shoe.
And where was that located?
On Main Street there.
Yeah.
Up above, in the middle. Well, if you know where the, it's all gone now. Strand Theater was on there first.
Yeah.
You know where the Strand Theater was? Well, in the back there. About a road, what do you call that?
Like an alley?
No, there's a road there, but
yeah.
They call that from one building to another road, and the other one, they call that the...
You mean a road between buildings?
Right, and just a street.
Yeah.
There's a street.
Yeah.
Yeah. One block.
Okay.
A block further than a Strand Theater.
Yeah.
He works over there, my buddy.
Were there any people that you worked with in the mills that you remember that stick out in your mind that maybe I can't interview that you could talk about?
I don't know. No. Quite a few have passed away now.
Yeah, that's why if you remember some of them.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. I never met any yet. For a long time, I never met any. But only the, like I said, a guy that I used to work with down in Shapiro, he moved to Nap Shoe. Mm-hmm. Well, him, we used to go hunting and fishing. He lives in Auburn.
Yeah.
Lane Road in Auburn. But right now he had a heart attack there. He went to hospital for a while, now he's home. His son's taking care of him.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you think is important to add to this interview today?
Well, I'm a hunter and a fisherman.
Yeah.
I go out hunting there the first day, it opened, season open. My boss would tell him, if you go, don't come back to work. I went hunting, never mind work. When I come back, he'd come up and ask, see anything? Then I tell him the story. Then I go fishing everywhere in Maine. Mm. After 250 miles from here, I went fishing.
What do you like to fish for?
I'm a tog fisherman, lake trout. Mm-hmm. But when you fish lake trout, you might catch a salmon, you never know. But lake trout is down the bottom. Mm-hmm. And the biggest one I caught was about 16 pounds, I guess. I caught quite a few down in Sebago. That nice fish over there too. 9, 10, 11 pounds. But when it comes to September, Labor Day, September, I used to go up north. My wife stayed home with the kids, I go up north. Well, that's my life. I like to fish it.
Yeah.
But when she went home, when she went with her parents to Rhode Island, that's where her mother came from, Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. She went to Rhode Island on her mother's side, but I never went. She went with her parent. Oh, we had a good life. Mm-hmm. Right now she's down there, but down in Deauville. Can't walk no more. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
That's about it, I guess. Or could.